Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. This is our second show, and we have two guests tonight. One of them has appeared already, and the other one, assuming she hasn't contacted me and let me know that she would not be here. So I'm planning on having a lively conversation whenever she does call in. And my co-host may be in and may not. Hers is a touch and go situation this time slot. Last week
I
she was here.
Here.
Yes, Miss. Are you going to be Miss Jones? Or are you Miss McLaurin?
I am Ms. McLaurin Jones.
All righty. Well, this guest, our guest is here. She's a childhood friend of mine. We grew up in a small country village in the state of North Carolina. And tonight, our discussion is going to revolve around you. The present has come. You got the present. Now, what do you plan to give? Now, that's like a catch-22. We're going to let the guest introduce herself however way that she would like, and then we will get into our discussion.
Now, I
Ms.
am
McLaurin,
Ms. Yes. Go ahead. You want me to go
it's
ahead?
It's all yours.
Okay,
yes.
So I am Lily McLaurin Jones, currently living in Augusta, Georgia. And I did grow up in knowing Pastor Armstrong since we were kindergartners. And I was kind of, I've always felt faithful and as I was a Christian. However, I discovered late in life that I really didn't know anything. So I am currently on a path of learning. This year I will be doing a read-through again, trying to understand what I really don't understand. So hopefully I will get some help, and anything I can learn tonight will be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Well, Nolly, we expect to learn something from you. We expect you to lead us into some truths in terms of topic words that work. What do you think about that?
Words that work. Well, that means, when you say words that work, if you are always just try your best to be honest, tell the truth, I mean, those words work. You don't have to search for anything. You don't have to try to retrace your steps and try to cover for words you've used in the past. And, you know, simple truth words will always carry through. So I just always use words that I could still use tomorrow, next week, month after, you know, and feel confident that they are the truth as I see it, as I know the truth to be.
Well, now, based on what you just said, why is it some people don't hear that? They hear what they want to hear. What do you think about that?
I think some people's truths are different. Some people who have told themselves things that absolutely were not true tend to believe that it's true after a while. After you tell yourself something over and over and over again, you know, you can believe it yourself, even though, you know, people may be able to show you proof that this is not true. But someone said it's like a 6 and a 9. You know, if you're standing at the top, you see a 6, and if you're at the bottom, you may see a 9. So it depends on whose truth that is there. You know, if I run around the other side, I may say, oh, well, you're correct, this is a 9. But if I'm on my side, I say, no, this is a 6. So it depends on who's looking at the truth, from which angle they're looking at it.
That is very interesting. And it's a good way to look at things. I hadn't thought about it that way. In other words, we have to be able to meet people where they are and figure out where they are in that time and space so that we know how to reach out to them with words that they will understand or the words that they will receive.
That's absolutely the way I see it. So, you know, if you are a teacher, instructor, and you're teaching and using words that kindergartners don't understand, you haven't taught a thing, even though you were teaching them the truth. But it's so if you sit down and teach them at their level, then they can understand what you're saying. Even and it's the same truths, you know, but you've used language that the person who is receiving it can understand it.
So, in other words, words have meaning, and when we take them out of the context, the meaning may change.
That's absolutely true. That's right.
All right.
And sometimes we make an assumption. We make assumptions.
Yeah, not that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that's kind of it. You know, it's like if you're writing a playbook, and in your mind, you know all the steps. Say, you know, you're a project manager. You know all the steps, and so you assume everybody should know this. But if you leave some of the steps out because you assume they know the steps, that the project may just not turn out the way you think the project should turn out because you assume
that is true.
That they know that. Yeah. So, and I learned it the hard way myself. You know, I went, well, you know, they should know that, but maybe they don't know that. So, if it's not written there, you can't hold them accountable for something that you assume that they knew. Right?
That is true. We're going to pick up right there in a moment. I see our other panelist has arrived. Pastor Smith?
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. How are you, Apostle?
Well, we are fantastic.
Amen.
And we started with dealing with words have meaning. Yeah, words that work. It's not what you say, it's what people hear. And we were kicking that around a minute to give you time to arrive. So would you like to tell us a little bit about who you are?
Okay, I am from D.C. I am now a retired full-time pastor of United Methodist Church, 33 years, but I have a part-time church. There's no such thing as a part-time church, but I pastor in Frederick and in the country, in Frederick and D.C. and Baltimore, and in the Waldorf area, which was Centerville, which was Aquasco and all that area. So now I'm in another small church, which is in Davidsonville, Maryland, which is not that far from Annapolis. And I love the Lord. Yeah, I'm a mother. I got three grandkids. I met Apostle Armstrong when we were pastoring in Baltimore. He's a very, very compassionate, community active person, and we established a lot of things in Baltimore to help the community, and he also helped with my church there, the seniors ministry. So I love seniors, I love reading, I love the Word of God, I love revelation knowledge in the Word of God. Amen. And I'm glad to be a part of Dimas Club, which is what Apostle is a part of, helping young people know their worth through sports and being mentored. And I'm glad to be on the line today.
Well, the thing is now, our topic today was you received the present. And what we're talking about, this is take off from the Christmas holiday season. And we say that Jesus is the reason for the season. And so we say that God sent his only begotten son. Now, my thing is, you got him. He's here. He's with you. What are you going to do? What do you got? What do you have to give? And that's what we're going to kick around for a few minutes. And so who wants to be first? We're going to make the last first. Pastor Smith. Next time you
well,
be
before
early.
before she starts, I want to say I am Lily Jones, Pastor Smith, and it's so nice to meet you, even if it is online.
Okay, Apostle Lily Jones.
All right.
I am not a pastor. I'm just a congregate at the United Methodist, Birds Memorial United Methodist Church.
She's a minister. She's a minister like all of us.
Okay. Amen. 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 Okay. Okay, so I did a Bible study this Advent time. You know, we do the Advent thing. And so it was on, it was by Adam Hamilton, I believe, is on the names of Jesus and all that. So when I think of Christmas, Jesus' reason for the season, but I extended on to like Epiphany, which was January the 6th, right? It's when the Magi come. And we're talking about the fact that they brought the gift. They brought the gift, and it was not at like the Christmas card show where the Magi at the manger scene. So it really amazed me. Let me say, every time I think about the Christmas story, and when I think about how the Magi brought gifts, and that was the first time that Jesus was exposed to the Gentiles, even as a baby, because they were Gentiles, and so we understood who he was. So breaking open the gifts coming off of Christmas, I think of the song, I'll Bring My Best For You, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, you know that song, you know, and that's saying that, what do I bring God? What do I bring God? And so I bring God because I'm old now. I bring God what he has placed in my life to do. And I know my calling as pastor, preach, teach, you know, mentor people, work with children, work with youth, work with aged. So I bring him my all. And as I was talking to a young man just 2 days ago, and he was talking about, well, you need other knowledge. I said, you need the basic knowledge. You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to know Jesus Christ. And I said that I'm old now. And he asked me, well, what do you want people to remember you by? I'm like, you know what? I do not care what people remember me by. All I care about is fulfilling what I believe is written in the Lamb's Book of Life about me, what Jesus tells me to do. And that is to not only explain the gospel, not only live the gospel, but to, you know, help others experience who they are and what they need to live a victorious life in Christ. So I bring all of me to every encounter that I have. And let me just say one more thing and I'll stop. I was praying last week, and I saw, like, it's almost like a pathway opened up, you know, from heaven up, from above, whatever, and it was like a pathway, and at the end of that pathway was a scroll. And then, you know, as I was praying in my mind's eye, right, and I saw another pathway beside that come down, and at the end of that pathway was an hourglass. And I'm like, okay, God, what are you saying to me? And, you know, what I got out there, I want to do whatever is written about me on that scroll. And the time, it's the time frame. You don't have forever to do what God has called you to do. I'm glad I'm walking in what God has called me to do. But, you know, I keep my ear open daily to if there's any other assignment that you have me to do. So I'm moving from the cross. Today was Sunday of the baptism. I understand what he did for us at the baptism and the power of the Holy Ghost that has been released. And I ask God to fill me more with your power every day to accomplish things. That's what I'm going to do.
So... So summing it up, you have given yourself back as a result of your receiving the gift, the present. So your gift is to take the gospel message to the people and to people can see it in the way that you live your life as well as you will give them the word. All right. Sister Minister McLean, please forgive me for mispronouncing your name. I'm not used to the last name. I'm used to calling you Miss Lily.
Well, then Miss Lily will do just fine.
All right.
So with the path I'm on, you know, from early on, as early as I could remember, I just consider myself to be Christian and live in the Christian ways and not realizing that about the works, right? That I just lived what I knew was right, and I assumed that was it. That's all there is. And I just learned, and not, you know, a handful of dozen years maybe, that's not all there is. So I'm on a new path, like, you know, to be in service to God, to work in the church, to go on a journey to learn more. And so I started my path by going to Jerusalem and following, you know, some of the footsteps of Paul and learn it. But when I always wanted to go, and because I thought, okay, I'm a Christian, so, you know, let me go with this group. If I'm a group, and they went, and they were discussing the Bible, and I realized I didn't know a thing. I went, okay, I know the childhood Bible stories, but some of this is beyond the childhood Bible stories, right? And someone talked about Josephus, and I thought, I've never heard that name in all the days of my life. Mm-hmm. So I came back with a renewed sense of, even though I thought I was walking the right path, but there's also service and there's also knowledge that's got to go with the path that I've always been on. So I'm kind of taking, you know, I'm like a babe in this path, you know. I stumble, I fall, but I'm in a good Christian family church, and you know, they pick you up and they help you along, and so I was just recently elected on the Staff Parish Relation Committee, I've served there before, but, you know, I, as I said, I'm still learning what everything means. And even at my age, and you, so you can always learn. And so it's back to what you said about what you have been told and what you actually hear. And I did everything I was told, and so I thought that's all there was to do. But, I've learned that that's not quite all there is, so you're never too old to get on the right. But that's where I am now. Yeah.
Well, most of us, if we admit it, it is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
I know mm-hmm. I had a brother-in-law. He talked about that there was this bright light that knocked him down on the bed and held him down on the bed. Well, evidently that light that held him must not have been from above, or he did not follow through and he didn't last too long in the ministry, because I'm just talking about his fruits. So, but me, mine was a process. I didn't pull mm-hmm. no punches. Whenever I started, I knew mm-hmm. that I wasn't even worthy to be called. But I studied, and I had people around me. And then, because I had told God that I won't be no minister, but I stay in the helping profession whenever I graduated from college. And then whenever I got fed up with being working in the government and evaluating and looking back at what I had accomplished or what God accomplished through me, and I was a little disgusted and despondent. And that's whenever I decided to go into, well, I didn't decide. That's when the Holy Spirit reminded me of what my mm-hmm. commitment was. And if I wasn't going to honor it, then I had to go to seminary. And I did do a little hemming and hawing even about that. And God told me, you don't need to go to seminary to preach, but you need to go to seminary to be in the United Methodist denomination. So mm-hmm. I shut up and went on and did what I needed to do. But what mm-hmm. am I giving? One of the things is this radio platform. This is a new station, a new program that came to me as a result of my prayer, meditation, and reflection about the where is God leading and what does God wants to do now. He gave me this vision in 1994. Well, it was time to go back to God and see if his vision needed to be revised in any way. And that's why we come up with this, because it's been in my spirit for a while. Statues have meaning. Statues send messages. That was whenever I started debating whether to take these statues down. And words have meaning. Whenever white nationalists or a populist movement, all of those have meaning. So that's one of the reasons that for this program, and it's set up with a panelist where people get an opportunity to give their opinion, and then we go from there. So any other comment, reaction, anything that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you that you need to put on the table?
Well, Pastor Smith, I'll follow your lead.
Well, it sounds like you are an awesome woman of God, Minister James, right?
Mm-hmm.
Minister Lilly, okay. Minister Lilly, and I wish I could go to Israel. I may be able to go there if God so willingly say that, but I know that there's a different kind of depth and I see in people that have been to the Holy Land, right? I just love to study God, the Word of God, and I do know that the symbols are important, as Apostle Armstrong was saying. It's, where would we be without the symbol of the cross, the symbols? When I was young, I first came into ministry. I had another, I'll say it was a vision of a menorah. I had no idea what that was. You know, I love the way that God puts in our spirit to study more, study more, study more. You know, there's so much to him. And then the menorah, I didn't know what that was, but, you know, when God exaggerates things in the dreams, you got to pay attention. So the menorah then turned into like a plant, and it kind of withered a little bit. And the other, maybe 2 months ago or whatever, God reminded me of that, what I had saw. And I went and got one, and I said, let me do this study all over again. That's a symbol. It's a symbol of God and his light, right? So I marvel, and I always say that I'm old. I marvel at the fact that I was so distraught when that symbol turned into like living plant and kind of start withering. And I marvel at the fact that, okay, God, since I started on this journey, I've sought to be faithful to you, to be faithful. And I'm like, I don't want to shrivel up. I don't want to never not learn, because there's so much more for me to learn from you and from Apostle. And I have a lot to give, because I believe that whatever God's put into me is not to stay into me, is to give to other folks. So I love symbols. I love learning. I wish I could go to Jerusalem. And I thank God for your platform, because what you're showing me, Apostle, is that you are ever evolving. You know, I know when we were in Baltimore, I was like, I think I got on your nerves. I think I may have got on your nerves. Because I saw so much in you, like, do it. Come on, do it. You do it. What's the obstacle? What's the problem? You know, and to see you move it. So you're not in Methodist Church. Well, do wherever you are. And to see you, you know, allow God to take you from this place, say from glory to glory to glory, which he's taken all of us. It's just really great. So as you break out the platform, everybody got something to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when you speak of, like, I tell everybody that I've met my guardian angel. You know, people look at you strange when you say that. But I was in a hospital in Germany, and you know, it was serious, and you know, they were concerned. They didn't know. They were saying, well, tomorrow we got to do surgery. And then at night, someone came in the room. I never saw her face. I thought she was old because she was bent over. And I guess she anointed me with oil when I think back about it, because I was all tapped everywhere, lips and raw, you know, around the nose with tubes. And she woke me up, and I was trying to fight her away, and she just held up a little vial, and she said, glycerin. And I, to my knowledge, I had never heard that word before, you know. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, everybody came in just marveling at what happened, you know. It's like, you're healed. And I didn't know what they were talking about. I said, the nurse came in, but I described the nurse, and they said nobody was on staff that fit that description. And they questioned everyone. They said, no, they did not do it. So I know that was my guardian angel. And I was like 20 years old at the time. And so I thought, after that, I don't need to do anything else. You know, I'm saved. I'm on the path. What more do I need to do? You know, but as I said, when I joined that group, and went to Israel, I realized there is so much more I need to do. And so then they said, okay, our next trip will be to Turkey. And I thought, why? You know, I was really, really naive. I did not know that the seven churches was in Turkey until we went. And that was like one of the best trips I've been on, even though we didn't make all seven, you know. But I learned, you know, about it then. And not only that, I thought, okay, well, this got to be Paul. It's got to be an act because I was going to read up on it. I'm going to be just like the rest when we get there. I'm going to know a lot. Hmm. And I called my brother-in-law and said, I can't find these churches in Acts. He said, you got to go to remember the seven churches of Revelation. I went, oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and so I'm still on this journey, this path, you know, to learn, to go with what I already thought I was living in and thought that I already knew. So now I'm on this path to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can help me out.
No. Well, what I'm about to say is that I was talking to my co-host, and she was talking about that she had taught on Matthew chapter 6, giving, prayer, and fasting. So I said, well, one of the things that's needed this year at this time post-pandemic is people need to come into an understanding of what giving is all about and not just money. And also, if they got issues with whatever is going on, and they are afraid to go back, they need to know how to pray and fast and seek God for answers, for understanding. And then the other one, because growing up in the denomination I grew up in, and I do want to say we're one of them, as some people say, one of them uppity churches, I didn't really know anything about fivefold ministry. What's the fivefold ministry? Now I understand it, and I understand how important it is, especially in a time as this. We need the teacher. We need the pastor. We need the evangelist. We need the prophetic, and we need the apostle. And they all see what's happening. I see that what's happening, we have the bishop now that has usurped the power of the fivefold ministry. And whenever I look at the word, the bishops were supposed to be there to help the pastor, have the pastor set up a structure to organize the church. But yet now it's altogether different. And then you got the teacher that's supposed to be teaching the people. That's helping the pastor. You got the evangelist. The evangelist is going out, spreading the word, and bringing the people in. And you got the prophet who is giving the pastor the prophetic word, who sees things and tell the pastor about it. And maybe some of the things they're telling the pastors that they see that this is post-pandemic. Now, maybe you're going to have to do ministry a little bit different to reach some people. Yeah, you can do the traditional thing, but you need to do something a little bit different. And this, sit down with that pastor and share the vision that they have received. And then here you're supposed to have that apostle supposed to be there sitting there sending people out to do the work. But it seems like it's all been flipped. And we now need to go back to the basics, go back to the Hebrew, and see what was the Hebrew meaning. What's the meaning of all this before? There's a book. They don't call it the Holy Bible now. They call it the Scriptures, the Scriptures. And it is the closest thing that we can get to the Hebrew. They have Hebrew names and Hebrew stuff in it, but it's as has the English there. And I have been informed and enlightened. I think it was $30-some off on Amazon. But to me, his worth is worth the $39. It wasn't $40. It was worth what I paid. I gained insight into the scripture. And so it is stuff like that, that's what I'm giving this year. That's what I see that needs to happen. We need to have more training, and we need to do a combination of Zoom. And always remember, you got people that don't have computers, so make sure that you give the phone number where people can call in on their phone and participate, and at least call in and listen, planning to do to reach out. The other thing that we are planning to do is the prayer ministry has changed. The vision that I was given, the first and third Wednesdays, you do praise. And then the second and fourth Wednesdays, we have focus topics. And we have one person responsible for that. And so far, we started that in December. And people are saying that they appreciate it and they like it. And then the first and third Wednesday, it's not free for all, but it's like somebody, they say open in prayer, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to lead. The first one was just fantastic in the eyes and ears of the people who got back. And so there's little things like that, and we're not trying to build no church. All we're doing is offering opportunities for people, and hopefully that the people go back to their home church. And we, during the pandemic, we had up to 17 people on there at a time. And we, now I think a lot of them have gone back to their home church on Wednesday night. But that's what I've been telling pastors. We got to think outside the box now. And mm-hmm. Yes. So, and the last one is the spirit of speaking in tongues. I was sitting there trying to think, if anybody, I think there might have been one or two persons in the church that did that, but that wasn't the norm. Our whole thing was that somebody got to be there to interpret it. And being a little egghead like I was at the time, my thing was, I don't know what them people said. Them people could be talking about me, and I don't know. So speaking in tongues wasn't something I was interested in. But now I understand, as I said, as we mature, we find out what we don't know, and we begin to reach out, even though I'm only four, chronologically, according to that piece of paper, I'm 77, but I'm four.
So, Pastor Smith, do you know that I knew the apostle says he was like 5 years old?
Four, not five. One, two, three, four. Not getting five. Nope, not five.
Five means you go
to primary grade. Kindergarten.
Yeah, but
now it's kindergarten. But it wasn't called that when we came along.
That's true. It was called the primary grade. Mm-hmm. You had the primary.
Yep, that's what it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when I first heard that he was going into the ministry, I went, no, I knew him all my life. No, he's not. But over the years that I've known him, I can say from what I know of him that he has walked the path. So when he asked me to be on, I gladly agreed to be on with him tonight.
Amen. So how did you hook up?
Yeah.
How'd you hook that up? What is it a piece of paper that you were reading or something? Or you feel in spirit realm you're 4 years old?
I feel in the spirit realm that I'm 4 because as I remember my I only had 2 shrink classes. And one of them, I remember we discussed it, you never let the child in you die. If the child in you dies, you can forget it. The child is what keeps learning, it keeps searching, and keep you moving. And then whenever that child gets to be, when that child leaves, you sit down and vegetate.
That's a good point.
So, how long have you known Apostle?
Since he was about 5 years old.
5 years old, wow.
Mm-hmm. And over the years, all of us, with Mrs. Armstrong, and we've all kept in touch, and everywhere, I've moved to a lot of different places. They've always come to check on me and always kept in touch. So.
Hey, so you've seen him in good times, bad times, growth, development, and final products.
Right, absolutely. And so we have discussed stuff, argued about stuff, agreed on stuff, disagreed on stuff. And it's just, I'm 78, so that's a lot of years to agree, disagree.
Amen.
Yeah, I told you you were older than me.
Yeah, well, I knew
you're
that.
My elder.
I knew that. But however, see, he's been walking with knowledge long before I did. I did not go to school and study. I just, as I said, I assumed that I'm a child of faith, a woman of faith. I don't need to do anything else, That's the way I walked for a long time, So I'm coming kind of new, but not new. I said, I've reached about the teenage years in this path that I'm walking, But it's been a marvel, and you always, as I said, I've gone to the lands and I've learned a lot, but, I'm waiting for the day when I can go back and complete my, the firsthand studies. Because you can't learn it all in one trip. And this year is the year that I read through the Bible again. I've read through, but you can't understand it all in the read through. But the years of prior years growing up, raising a son, he always just sat down on Sunday afternoon and went through the Bible stories with him. And as I said, I thought, okay, I'm on my way. I'm on the path. I don't need to do anything else. So I'm learning that somewhere along the line I was misled. I do need to do something else. So that's where I'm at now.
I think a lot of us have reached that point. I know a lot of what I heard sitting in the pews was not biblical. I heard a lot of person's interpretation, and I heard a lot that have been passed down But whenever I start getting into the scripture, reading the scripture for myself and start allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me into the truth, that's whenever all of this became real to me. And before then, hey, I would go to church. It was all emotional. I would be on an emotional high. The music and everything was jumping. And then come Wednesday, I'm be honest, I would sit there, what in the hell have I done? I have been that I did something because I don't feel that way. And that's what I mean about feeling. It was a feeling. It was not, I didn't learn anything. I felt good. It was very emotional. And whenever I start getting in a word for myself and reading it, that's whenever I found the joy and it would last. So it's a process. And everybody says it's not, well, they're different from the majority of the people. The whole thing about, we do have a couple of guests. Anyone that's called in, do you have a comment or question? One of our guests is a pastor, and the other guest is a minister. Yeah, fortunately or unfortunately, both of them are out of the United Methodist denomination. So I don't know whether that's good or bad. I didn't even think about that when I invited them. And they have talked about what it is that they have to give as a result of receiving the gift. What do you have to give? All right. Okay. No response. We're going to move right along. Because what I see this year, especially since the pandemic, we do not have the luxury of sitting around anymore. Things are moving too fast, and the enemy is really trying to take over. The enemy has got a foothold in America, and from its top to the bottom, the previous leader allowed the enemy to come in and find a home and talk about alternative facts. Raising the question, when is the truth the truth? Don't believe it unless you hear me say it. And then when you look at all the people that's following him, that was the other reason for this panel. You look at that, all the millions of people that's following him, and you begin to ask the question, which God are they following? Which God are they serving? And if we are scripture is that Satan is the father of lies. So whenever I line up what I've seen in the last 6 years, and Washington Post have come up with 30-some thousand lies that the leader told during his time, during his 4 years, including, well, I guess you can say 5 years, because whenever he was running, that gave Satan the opportunity to get a foothold. And it's getting to be hard now for us who are believers when we go out to witness the people. And some people, they might be nice to us, but other people, in their minds, they already made a decision. They don't want to hear whatever we have to say. And so the challenge is for us who are believers is to be able to find the words. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit give us the language and give us the words that we can use to meet the people where they are and touch them and give them something that comforts them.
So, I agree. I agree, and I know that that well, one of the things that as I was studying the word and God was impressing upon me is to understand the culture and the generation that we live in. You know, in the book of Philippians, it said we live in a wicked and, you know, generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
we understand, you know, we understand the enemy. We understand that there's a force that does not want us, and Satan does not want us to not only be the best that we could be or to do things that will bring about a better understanding of God. And one thing I like about being United Methodist, I know, well, John Wesley, let me say, he talked a lot about personal piety, but he always said that
mm-hmm.
in addition to that, don't forget the social gospel. Don't forget what you're supposed to do, right, to your fellow men and women. And one thing that I think maybe we just swung over to the social gospel part of maybe a little bit more and forgetting about the precepts and the standards that God has put in place. But it's always like kind of a balance right there. And when I as you say, we have to minister differently post-COVID, I think pre-COVID, it was a lot of running around of everybody being religious, more religious, more religious, right? The,
mm-hmm.
More
mm-hmm.
religious, more religious. And then I know a lot of young people had gotten turned off to the to religion because people were doing things in the name of religion that was not, correct. So, and we couldn't answer questions. I talked to somebody the other day that was saying, well, I couldn't answer no questions. So it was a black young man, and he said, so I was living next to a mosque, and I went to the mosque, and I started studying with them. So now he's a black Jew because the fundamentalists wouldn't let me ask questions. So I know a lot of young people, they have questions. Reminded me of Langston Hughes and them era. They had questions, and our job of those who love the gospel, we can be ready to understand what we believe. I think about a lot of people in church, so what is it? What is a Christian? What does it mean to be baptized? You know, what is speaking in tongues? What is the Trinity? What about infant baptism? Or, you know, I think are called now to, as Minister Lilly was saying, to study to show ourselves approved so that we can be ready to give an answer to those mm-hmm. who will ask, because I don't think this young generation is finished with seeking the things of God, even the churches of God or the fellowships of God. You know, stuff is happening. And
mm-hmm.
like that football player, everybody got on a knee, right? I don't know what
That's
denominations
right.
was in there, but everybody knee bowed to pray for that young man.
Mm-hmm.
God still triumphs.
Mm-hmm. Along with the nation, you know, everybody
mm-hmm.
was praying for him. Yeah. And prayer
mm-hmm.
worked. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like you said about the question, see, when I realized that I was almost terrified that this group would ask me a question, you know, trying to include me in the group. And I was backing up, trying to hide behind everybody because I didn't want them to ask me a question because I was sure I didn't know the answer. And so, and I didn't like that feeling. So I thought, you know, it's not enough to just say, well, I'm a good and faithful person. You also got to be a good and faithful servant. And to do that, you have to know. You got to learn. You got to read. You got to follow. You know, and you got to lead. So
mm-hmm.
I thought right here and now is where, you know, this is, if this is not my motivation, there is no motivation.
Mm.
So that really propelled me on a different path in my life.
Well,
I think people are listening to you. You're an elder. You are an elder, and you have proven that you have lived what you have believed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so valuable.
It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and one
know,
of the things
eight,
that
eight is a lot.
Yeah, one of the things that we have allowed, the church has allowed the world to come in and usurp our authority. We are to make disciples, not mentors. And I remember back in Baltimore when the mentoring thing was big, a lot of people got involved in mentoring because they was giving out little grants and all that. And the thing that bothered me about the whole process, and yeah, I was quiet, I was solemn, but what bothered me was the fact that when I was growing up, nobody my age could mentor me. And they had started getting young people at 12, 13, they were supposed to be mentoring the ones that was younger than them. And my whole thing was everybody who was my age, we all were doing the same thing. So we looked up to our uncles. They were the ones that we looked up to that could tell us something. So I just see God as it's redoing what the devil has done, and we gonna begin to make disciples again. Remember that, Pastor, you remember that group that we were part of out of Philadelphia? And the whole thing was making urban disciples.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten the guy's name. I mean, that was timely, but it didn't last. It didn't last because the mentoring part, and that was whole Satan's whole thing was, hey, I don't want these young boys to be discipled, because if they get discipled, then they won't be in the street again anymore. So now we're going to put mentoring in there, and we're going to get people to mentor these young people. And then they say, okay, we got y'all hooked on mentoring. So now we're going to have teenagers mentoring their little brothers and the little guys in the street with them. And so it has been an interesting journey. For me anyway, and just observe the change that has taken place and how God now is what I call flipping the switch. Other thing is, we can't just listen. A lot of people want to just listen to programs on TV, programs like this, called shows, and then turn on the TV to the religious channels and just listen to them. No, you need to read it for yourself. John Wesley, one thing I like about Wesley was clear. He said that the way you know is tradition, experience, reason, and scripture. Scripture is primary. But guess what else he did? He put the Holy Spirit in there as well. So there's really five ways that he was pushing. So, well, I want to think about our time is running out. Time go by fast when you're having fun. I think I might want to extend this a little bit longer. And, whether we use the time or not, we will have the opportunity to go over the 60 minutes. But I want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to thank the panelists for being candid. And I hope and pray that something that we've said that has touched the lives of somebody, and somewhere in the earth realm that is people listening. And because we have listeners everywhere except China and most of the major countries except China.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, and we may have listeners there, the numbers are so small it's not statistical high enough for them to record it and put make it part of the statistical report. So. God bless everybody, and just keep keep looking and keep listening. We're here at 6 o'clock. I hope that just because this time you was a guest, that you will come back and listen and participate and help us to develop this platform, this program, this ministry, so that we'll be able to really touch lives of people. And we want to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at, we used to put a Coke can on the table, and when we were doing community forums, and that Coke can represented Coca-Cola. It represented the truth, and that we just want to keep it real. No conspiracy theories and none of that foolishness. We just want to be real about our time. Again, mm-hmm. thank you, and shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for
yes.
the opportunity to share.
Yes.
Yes. And thank you, and everybody have a blessed week.
Amen. You too.
Thank you. Same to you. All right.
Okay.